Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the founder of The Liberty Conspiracy, which can be heard live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, running for at least an hour and a half. We stream at Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter / X account, at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. You can also find some of our material on YouTube and some of it on BitChute as well. And you can visit my Substack, which is the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And every Sunday, check out the Sunday News Assembly, which contains 20 stories at least that pertain to liberty, plus contextual information that will help draw out of those breaking stories long-term lessons that you can pass on to others in future generations who might also be interested in expanding the understanding of freedom. Because this is the great work of these guys, I want to let them give the tag on this before I roll this over into utilizing this information to analyze the Ukraine policy. Here we go.
Well, they were pretty precise, weren't they? I mean, they actually hit the logo.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
They hit all three cars. So exactly. We're not going to hang any condition over Israel's neck.
Yeah,
and we don't have any leverage.
Yeah, that's an honest expression of policy. They're not going to do a single thing. They're going to keep having meetings on Zoom. That's what they're going to keep doing. And maybe in person, either in person or in Zoom, they're going to have the same meetings where they plot on how to destroy the people of Gaza. Make their home uninhabitable so that they have nothing to live in once this thing finally ends, whenever the U.S. finally...
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what the plan has been. That has been what Netanyahu has planned for a long, long time, as Love Spit Love would say. So with that stated, let's head on over into the policies when it comes to things like Ukraine. So let me make sure I've got this set up for you properly and go over to my next phase. So Politico also reported on this one, but I think I've got another one. Yeah, this is Politico. This is via MSNBC, MSN. Politico reports this. Here's the headline beneath the banner ad. Trump-proofing weapons for Ukraine. Allies consider moving arms group into NATO. Now, this is one I wanted to discuss yesterday. Didn't get the chance. So, again, headline, if you're just listening, Trump-proofing, hyphenated, Trump-proofing weapons for Ukraine. Allies consider moving arms group into NATO. So, of course, not only are we seeing the Speaker of the United States House of so-called Representatives pushing for more weapons and money to be sent to Ukraine through the congressional means, but also there are two means that they want to make sure they utilize. One is to give weapons transfer power to NATO, because the United States has to supply NATO with a certain amount. And then, of course, the seizure of Russian assets. And we'll get to that as well. Totally extrajudicial, absolutely contrary to the Bill of Rights. And again, if you run into any of the people who are pro-Ukraine out there with their yellow and blue flags, you might want to mention to them, can you tell me where the United States Constitution gives exceptions to the powers that it grants the U.S. government when it is operating with foreigners? Or does it just tell us the way the government's supposed to operate, regardless of the people on whom the government is supplying its powerful leverage? Let's hit this. Here it is. You can see all the wonderful machinery. Looks like a display from, I don't know, Northrop Grumman or whoever. The United States and other Western countries are considering transferring to NATO, which has been so reliable that the Russians, they weren't worried about their expansion in any way whatsoever. Transferring to NATO, a U.S.-led multinational group that coordinates the shipment of weapons to Ukraine, one of several new proposals that could help maintain the flow. Nothing's going to stop the flow of arms to Kyiv under a second Donald Trump presidency. Seriously. During the NATO foreign ministerial meeting in Brussels Wednesday and Thursday, officials are expected to discuss a range of options. You know, because the United States government is fully operating constitutionally when it's giving weapons to all these foreign countries during no declared war. And that range of options would include gradually moving the organization called the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. Did you know that existed? I didn't. Into the alliance's control. Wait till you look into that one. That's an interesting one. There's a hyperlink there. You can do some more. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow night if we have power. We'll talk. Let me show you the. If you want to click on this story, I've forwarded this one on my X, but I'll do it again after the show, and so you can see the Ukraine Defense Contact Group there. But there's more to it. Into the alliance's control, according to three European officials and a U.S. official with knowledge of the internal deliberations. The goal would be to finalize the move at the NATO leaders summit in Washington in July, one of the officials said. Yeah, you know, totally just like the World Health Organization, changing their rules, but somehow the agreements still stick to the United States. The Ukraine group was launched in the early weeks of the war by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and then Joint Chiefs Chair General Mark Milley, both war criminals, to coordinate Western support for Kyiv's defenses. That euphemism being to wash money and, again, collect more weapons in case they needed to do this. It's credited with speeding tons of billions of dollars in equipment, weapons, and other aid to Ukraine that have been critical in staving off Russian forces. You think so? You think maybe they also went after Gonzalo Lira with some of that? Maybe they used some of that tech to find him, bring him back, and kill him? The discussions about NATO's involvement with the group, you think they used some of that to help out those terrorists that attacked Moscow? I don't know. How about to blow up the Crimean Bridge? The discussions about NATO's involvement with the group are happening, quote, at very senior levels. Well, then you can all trust that. They're very senior, and they're not brown-nosing to become senior at all, with the goal of formalizing European and alliance support for Kyiv, said the U.S. officials. So again, they see the writing on the wall. They see that support for the United States continuing to take your neighbor's money and your money is crumbling. So, well, at least for the Ukraine story, so they're doing that. Transferring the group to NATO would be a significant move towards cementing Western support for Ukraine's war for the foreseeable future. So that's literally putting United States forces at the command of NATO. In the near term, domestic politics in the U.S. and other countries is already threatening to cut off funding to send Kyiv additional weapons. There you go. They say here, of course, at Politico, formalizing the group within NATO would go a long way toward protecting support for Ukraine from changes in U.S. and Western governments, experts said, and particularly from Trump. So they seem to think that Trump would do something about that. Okay, if you say so. Maybe, maybe not. He didn't leave Syria, that's for sure. I want to show you a couple quotes here. See if I can get this stuff. I might just go straight to. Yeah. Here's this one, and I think Daniel's got this too. There's a feeling among not the whole group, but a part of the NATO group that thinks it is better to institutionalize the process. Thank you, Suicidal Tendencies. Just in case of a Trump reelection, said Jim Townsend, a former Pentagon and NATO official who's very deep with the deep state. And that's something that the U.S. is going to have to get used to hearing, because that is a fear and a, as he says, a legitimate one. So let me get this straight. The idea that Donald Trump won't supply weapons to Ukraine is a fear? Oh, okay. Well, let's see what Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul had to say. And this brings us to the final, I think, lesson point from this, that even in this case, just in their conversation, I think if somebody were to bring it up, they would probably say, oh, yeah, that's right. Here's what Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul had to say after they went through some of this.
If they wanted to be more objective and, you know, spread the blame around, offer decided sharp rebuke of Israel's military pressure. Well, if that's really the issue, would they ever consider with their close financial ally and weapons ally, United States?
Yeah.
You know, it's a game they play, and they play it to the media, and they've gotten away with this for a long time. It just looks like it's not being sold, and I think that's what this election is all about right now. People aren't rolling over. You know, there's groups in this country that traditionally have been 95% always going with the Democrat.
Yeah.
And right now, that seems to be breaking, and it will snowball between now and the election too, because that.
I want to pause it there. I actually want to go back to the Ukraine bit here. So we'll get into the Israel thing. We'll replay that if you're interested in that. But I want to hit the Ukraine thing because it's thematically tied. So here we go.
Enough where they can say, well, we'll vote on this. It might be a
from a U.S. that might get distracted by China and can't keep it going or get its own funding together. So basically, no matter what happens, if we get distracted by China, whatever, we're going to be on the hook to pay and to continue sending weapons.
You know, if the numbers are powerful enough where they can say, well, we'll vote on this, it might be a place where we point out the shortcomings of democracy,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because the numbers of there, if they can vote that in and change all that. The reason why I don't think it's going to happen like that so quickly is they're still dependent on our money, even if it's running out of value. It's going to be hard to, get us out of the way. But there are signs that things are fading right now in the financial markets and us losing. The fact that they bring this up, that's probably pretty significant by itself, you know, on getting a little bit disgusted with the United States.
And the other thing that they did is, though, they want to move all the control over the money and weapons to Ukraine away from a future President Trump. But if you put the next one up, this is from the same article. Late last year, lawmakers approved a law that would require congressional approval if a future president tried to pull out of NATO. They're considering further protection measures. They're trying to not only Trump-proof the weapons to Ukraine, Trump-proof us doing anything to get out of NATO, making it impossible for the president to do so. I mean, this is an incredibly anti-democratic move.
And that's what they're all for, true democracy.
Well, let's move to the next one.
All right, so I just want to mention, so one of the things here that's implied is that Trump is the guy who makes the decisions here, right? That Trump can decide whether he wants to deal with NATO this way, send the weapons to Ukraine or not send the weapons to Ukraine. They want to Trump-proof him, right? And within that probably is the idea that he might be able to pull a few strings to stop the funding in Ukraine and things like that. One of the things that Daniel facetiously mentioned democracy and so on. One of the things that I think is really important here to really draw out this lesson is that if Trump abides by the Constitution, he doesn't need to negotiate with Congress about stopping the funding for Israel or the weapons to Ukraine or anything like that for either of them. He just has to say, I swear an oath to the Constitution, you don't have the power to give this stuff to these people. So it's not just that they're trying to skirt Trump's executive power. It's that they're skirting the Constitution in an arena where the Constitution is already being skirted. That's the point. The thing that's not being brought up is none of this is constitutional. None of the funding for any of these countries, none of the weapons for any of these countries, not even the humanitarian aid is constitutional. So focusing on Trump alone requires, I think, some secondary and tertiary commentary to say, look, this is the process by which Trump would or Biden does swear to operate. This is the way that they're supposed to work. And the way they're supposed to work is if you get Congress passing a statute that does something unconstitutional, you in the executive branch has sworn an oath as well, and you will not execute that statute. Now, if they want to come and try to impeach Donald Trump for doing so, they can go ahead and do that. But every member of any executive branch, legislative branch, judicial branch, or even any federal agency swears an oath to uphold, and that includes the military, swears an oath to uphold the Constitution. And every one of those people has his own initiative under which he's supposed to operate. He himself has to adjudge whether or not he thinks this is constitutional or unconstitutional. And therefore, if Donald Trump says, you know what, I see no provision in here doing this, it doesn't matter whether he's trying to gain votes for this or for that. Maybe he has some tariff he wants to put up. And so if he can get votes from that, the way that Johnson wants to get votes for the border stuff, he'll then agree to send weapons to Ukraine or Israel or whatever it might be. You know, we already know Donald Trump has said such crass things as, well, it's looking bad for you, Israel, so you better stop soon. How about it is bad, Donald? How about it is bad? How about you moving the recognition to Jerusalem was bad? How about that? Right? How about you don't start playing around in other people's so-called sandboxes, which are really becoming sandboxes now, and you abide by the Constitution? So that's one of the key things that I'm not hearing in this, which is people are building up this normalcy bias. They think that the normative position is that the president has power to do this or that, the drawdown authority that Biden supposedly has from the military budget to then shift weapons over to our allies and things like that, or against our adversaries. There's no war. There are no adversaries, technically speaking. There are no allies, technically speaking. If you're not at war, then maybe you could operate the way George Washington mentioned in his farewell address, right? Friendly relations with all and ties, you know, long-term ties with none. You know, that would be a good idea. So I did want to bring that lesson out because it's important to remember that Donald Trump has to abide by the Constitution. He can't just solo do these things. And NATO, in its operations now, is clearly operating in a fashion that is massively unconstitutional. So let's say you have a treaty and the United States has signed on to the treaty. Well, the NATO treaty is unconstitutional because it mandates that the United States government will be operating in such a fashion that opens the door to weapons and soldiers and so on without a declaration of war. You can't do that. And this just amplifies it. So I had to make sure that I brought that up. And I saw great comments over in Rumble from Risha. Risha says, I don't think I'll ever forget the IDF chasing everyone out of the hospital and the babies were left in the incubators. When the people came back, they saw their rotting corpses. Horrific. Yes. And that actually is real, as opposed to the incubator stories that drew people in for the Iraq attack. Yet I remember when everyone bought the lie, there you go, about babies thrown out of incubators to die. And folks were like, yeah, let's bomb Iraq for that big, fat lie. And Congress bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I bet you anything, a lot of the people in Congress knew what was going on and they didn't say anything. I think I'm about 90% certain on that one. Brian DeMcCartney, great to see you in David Knight's chat earlier today. Occult Priestess, good to see you. Little John, I'm over in Rockfin now. Little John, hey, greetings, man. Greetings. Great to see you. So, all right, quick update. I think I didn't get exactly the quote that I wanted from Daniel there because it was a little bit off from my original timing. But I think that will wrap up everything except one final point that I do want to stress. Now, this one popped up about a week and a half ago. We've seen various manifestations of this, of the seizing of the Russian oligarchs' yachts and things like that. And we've gotten to discuss it here on The Conspiracy. And I just noticed that looks like my CPU is running pretty hot. So here it is. Johnson eyes Russian assets in Ukraine funding fight. Didn't get to talk about this on Monday, but I think it's very important. Again, where does this man get off saying that he has any power in any way whatsoever to steal the property of other people? Congress is gearing up. Oh, that's right. That's the way all politics works, isn't it? You'll own nothing and be happy. Congress is gearing up to give President Joe Biden a powerful new financial tool. to strengthen Ukraine in a move that could redefine modern economic diplomacy. Oh, it's diplomacy now, I see, and it's economic diplomacy. At issue is bipartisan legislation approved by House and Senate committees, not yet fully by either House, that would let the administration confiscate around $5 billion to $8 billion in Russian sovereign assets under U.S. jurisdiction and use the money to help finance, you got it, Ukraine's recovery. Ah, that won't go towards special favorites, you know, like Burisma or anything like that. Discussions on the plans are expected to ramp up in the coming weeks as Congress hashes out a new Ukraine aid bill. So, folks, I think the closer they get to this, the more we'll see that it'll be either be split off for weapons, or if it's not going to be targeted for weapons and it's for Ukraine recovery, they know the end is nigh, that the Russians are going to take two-thirds of that nation state. In a Fox News interview Sunday, Speaker Mike Johnson floated the Russian asset seizure proposal as one of the ideas that Republicans will pursue in response to a Biden administration request for more Ukraine aid. In addition, he signaled that Republicans may try to provide some of the Ukraine aid as a loan. Where do they get that power? And are also weighing an expansion of U.S. natural gas exports to unfund Russia's war effort. Those would be United States natural gas that could come here, but they're not allowing it to come here. It's going to go elsewhere. They'll direct it and they'll pay for it themselves to compensate the companies, I'm sure. But that's okay, because it will stop, you know what, climate change. Sure it will. You know, I think it's time that we head on into that as a new topic, my friends. Let's hear from our friends, Coolin' the Gang.
But oh, it's too hot, lady. I gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade. It's too hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger, what a mess we have made. So long ago, you were my lover.
There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday on Rockfin, Rumble, and Twitter starting 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at Spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. The Northeast was rocked by a 4.8 magnitude earthquake centered in Lebanon, New Jersey. New York Governor Kathy Hochul addresses the press about the quake and discusses what New Yorkers can do to remain safe.
Inspect your home for damage. Check walls, floors, doors, windows, staircases. And if you see any damage at all, you may need to relocate while the event is going on. Again, check your own gas lines and water lines to make sure that your family is safe.
The FDNY has no reports of damage. The monthly jobs report is surpassing expectations. The Labor Department reporting the economy added 303,000 jobs in March, exceeding the 200,000 most analysts had projected. The unemployment rate saw little change, coming in at 3.8%. Powerball fever continues, with Saturday night's drawing set for an estimated $1.23 billion. This is USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can check out Liberty Conspiracy Live every Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X at Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, find the show after the fact anytime at Rumble and Rockfin. All right, let's check it out. We got news on the so-called Enviro front. And first, there's a little bit of a positive, but it's only a temporary reprieve. Fox News is reporting this. Came out yesterday. Thomas Catanacci often reports on the environmental stuff. You'll see me hyperlink to him a lot in my MRC TV pieces. Federal court strikes down Biden's climate rule for states. What? A federal district court has overturned the Biden administration's climate rule that required states to track and set reduction goals for so-called greenhouse gas emissions from vehicles on highways. That's right, the highway money. In a sweeping judgment late Monday, Judge Benjamin Beaton of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Kentucky ordered the Federal Highway Administration to stand down. You know, because that's totally constitutional, to stand down on the rules which the agency finalized in November, as they would say in Espanol. The ruling represents a major victory for the state of Kentucky, which challenged the regulations alongside 21 other states. President Biden's radical environmental agenda, said Republican State Attorney General Russell Coleman, has lost touch with reality, and Kentucky families, farmers, and workers are paying the price. So, of course, you have the predicate falsehood of climate gases, the global warming gases. Kentucky filed a lawsuit in December, 1 month after the federal Federal Highway Administration, finalized the regulations. According to the lawsuit, the FHWA overstepped its legal authority. But they're not challenging the constitutional stuff. They're just saying, well, you attempted to force the states to implement federal regulations. You can't force that. Yes, they can't force that. That's true. But the federal regulations themselves are unconstitutional. So how about you focus on that part, too? That would be good. Well, we got a little bit of information for you, everybody. Yep, because, of course, there's more. Let's head over to the farmland area. The SEC moves to regulate the future of farming. This from the Washington Examiner. Climate. America's farmers and ranchers work best when the government lets them do their jobs without unnecessary interference. As we know that Thomas Massie tried to stop the tagging of cattle, and he was not successful. It's going to be coming in, I believe, 2026, 2025. Unfortunately, over the years, federal agencies have seized on new opportunities to regulate farmers. Since President Joe Biden has been in office, these agencies have been weaponized by environmentalists. No, they've always been weaponized. They are weapons. That's the point. Doesn't matter whether you get so-called environmentalists in there or not. The very creation of them is a weapon. It's a threat. That's the point. Stop them at the point before they open Pandora's box. And I would say that having a state is the opening of Pandora's box. It just is. The weaponized by environmentalists are imposing job-crushing regulations in pursuit of an extreme agenda to remake America's economy. In 3 short years, we've already had to battle against a dramatic expansion of the waters of the United States rule, presidential executive orders, and a new climate core, yes. But that's just the beginning. The Biden administration has more in the works for 2024. Last month, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and we talked a little bit about this, David has spoken about this, the SEC released a new climate disclosure rule that would impose unprecedented reporting requirements on job creators in the U.S. The rule is the latest example of extreme climate activists pushing their agenda through the rulemaking process, rulemaking being a euphemism for mafia threats. If allowed to stand, this new regulation would not only stifle investment in America, but it would also threaten economic prosperity and punish the middle class. It's an almost 900-page rule, everybody, and it requires extensive disclosures on carbon dioxide emissions and other theoretical climate risks. This includes emissions directly generated by a company known as a Scope 1 emissions level and indirect emissions produced because of purchasing energy known as Scope 2. And yes, I did have to familiarize myself with that stuff a number of months ago for MRC TV. It's pretty amazing, all the stuff you got to jump on. It's absolutely crazy because they never stop. They never stop. As bad as this sounds, the original plan, which could come back at any time, was even worse. The SEC originally proposed to require disclosure of Scope 3 emissions. These are emissions not directly attributed to a company, but are part of their value chain. Yeah, so you make it look a lot worse, and then you make it look like you've offered a concession, right? After the hearing process, then you just go through with what you already planned. Thankfully, advocacy and Republican members of Congress pushed back. Oh, really? Did they push back and try to eliminate the organization? Oh, no, they didn't. That's right. They only had that part removed. Oh, such heroes. The SEC's decision to require disclosures of Scope 1 and 2 emissions will have devastating consequences. We expect that agriculture will be top of mind for them as an industry that environmentalists have long sought to reshape. Beyond agriculture, litigious actions drive up costs for employers, which will be passed on to consumers, creating more hardship for those who are already struggling to pay their bills and stay afloat during periods of high inflation. And this came from Dan Newhouse. He is a congressman from Washington State. He serves as the chairman of the Congressional Western Caucus. And Mike Flood, he's a congressman from Nebraska. He's on the House Financial Services Committee, and he is part of the Congressional Western Caucus. They say the SEC should stick to its core mission of regulating financial markets and get out of its newfound hobby of dabbling in climate alarmism. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So we'll see this next year, everybody. This is a big one. It's going to be coming. And even if Trump gets elected, he's going to have to move to actually intercede and stop it. Okay, so that's going to be a very big matter. And of course, it'll be depicted as being, you know, evil and so on and so forth. But at least some people are starting to wake up to a few things. One of them being solar farms. This is a very good piece from The Telegraph. I retweeted this, got some nice communication from people, re-exed it. Solar farms are taking us back to the dark ages, wrote Matt Ridley pretty much yesterday. The actress and environmentalist Tracy Ward objects to plans to build a 2,000-acre solar farm, part of which would lie on the estate of her ex-husband, the Duke of Beaufort of Gloucestershire. Quote, solar panels should be on roofs, along motorways, or industrial sites, she says. Be careful what the climate change fear-mongering will lull us into accepting. Spot on. While solar panels on roofs can almost make sense, huge solar farms are an environmental as well as an economic mistake. Absolutely. We say for large scale, they're inefficient. They don't work well for large scale. The whole point of farmland is that it is already a solar farm and a green one at that. It turns sunlight into food energy for people. It provides insects and voles and birds and food. The fact that some green campaigners would rather have low-grade electricity than high-quality British farm produce shows how bizarrely irrational environmentalism has become, said Dr. John Constable of the Renewable Energy Foundation. Ah, say solar energy fans, but you can have both. You can graze sheep under the solar panels to allow weeds to flourish. This is nonsense. The whole point of solar panels is that they catch the sunlight. The clue's in the name, which plants would otherwise use to grow. On a normal summer's day, perhaps 10% of the sunlight might get missed by the solar panels and caught by the plant's solar panels instead. It's a zero-sum game. According to an estimate by writer Robert Bryce, solar power needs around 200 times as much land as gas per unit of energy. Reducing the land reducing the land we need for human civilization is surely a vital ecological imperative. The more concentrated the production, the more land you spare for nature. Going back to using the landscape to provide energy, as they did in the Middle Ages through wind, water, and hay for horses, would be a disaster for nature. So this area that they're discussing here is a very well-known area that this woman's discussing. This woman, the Duke, she said it would lie in the estate of her ex-husband, the Duke of Beaufort in Gloucestershire. Now, that being stated, the government's going to try to take this land. In addition to that, you might have seen me tweet about how in the UK, the government is already taking people's property now, claiming that it's unlivable and giving it to migrants. So in the discussion that I got to have with Jacob Hornberger, we both mentioned that we're both voluntarists. We're in favor of freedom of association. We got into the constitutional side of it, what the Constitution says. It's a state issue, not a central command and control thing from Washington. They're not abiding by that. And then we also mentioned that you're seeing now, because of the central command and control, you're seeing the one who's in command actually subsidizing people to move. And this is what they're doing on an even accelerated rate, and what many people fear is going to happen as properties start to go under and property owners start to go under in various municipalities in places like New York and Boston and Chicago and other cities, because, of course, they overbuilt with the inflated money supply and with the contractions that came with the COVID lockdowns, of people leaving their offices. They're vacant, as Gerald Celente predicted years ago. It's a coming crash. So what are they going to do with those properties? Maybe they'll house migrants on your dime. Maybe they'll even go into private homes. You'll see that story. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll go into that tomorrow. And yeah, it's a pretty big deal. So I want to give you one other aspect of the solar farm problem, not just the land taking, but the water hazards. This comes from Popular Science. It was published in 2022. But I thought I would give this to you. And this is a great example. In September 2018, sediment from the construction of a nearby solar farm, AL Solar, flowed into Chattahoochee River in Alabama. It was one of four solar farms that were recently involved in construction permit violations and stormwater mismanagement issues. Writes Popular Science, which has fallen a long, long time ago from being really reliable on science. Last month, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and Department of Justice announced more than $1 million in penalties against companies for polluting local waterways. The culprits? Four solar farms in Illinois, Alabama, and Idaho. But of course, you can bet, folks, that again, because you don't have a real tort system, a lot of people aren't going to get the money they deserve. The government's going to get a big cut. If you had real private property, then real tort systems where people could cite people for destroying their property, then you wouldn't see the government going after people when there weren't no victims, when there were no victims. And you would see people actually having to bring evidence in front of juries. But in this case, let's continue here, because the government's the one that claims it's all environmentally conscious, and yet the government is the one that's subsidizing wind farms and things like that. The development of solar energy is a key component of the Biden administration's efforts to combat so-called climate change, said Larry Starfield, an administrator at the Environmental Protection Agency, in a press release on November 14th, 2022. These settlements send an important message to the site owners of solar farm projects that these facilities must be planned and built in compliance with environmental laws, statutes. Each of the large-scale solar projects, which shared a common contractor, violated construction permits and mismanaged stormwater controls, causing harmful buildup of sediment in waterways. As private companies race to build renewable capacity, the EPA's case with the four solar farms illustrates a central challenge. While gleaning energy from the sun might be a panacea to overconsumption of fossil fuels, as they claim here, building a clean power grid that can harness solar energy is often more complicated. And it has no financial incentive to do this. And of course, as I mentioned, PG&E has caused massive wildfires in California over and over and over again because to cut costs, they run their power lines over government-run land that's not taken care of well. But when we talk about the land, let's remember this. Let's go back to the story about Gloucestershire. Because I think you might want to remember this one. Remember when I talked about Thomas More's Utopia? In these cases, what we're seeing is a rerun of the same top-down, politically connected mindset and MO, modus operandi, from the mindset into the operation of what we saw as the enclosure movement took over and swept through Britain after the Roundhead invasion in the 1100s. The Utopia thing has this opening scene where they're talking about sheep and so on and so forth on stone walls. The royally connected fief rulers took over a lot of the land that had been commonly owned under the Angles and the Saxons for ages and ages and ages. They had their common law traditions. They had their path throughs so people could get through and so on and so forth. And the political forces supplanted their own interests on a lot of those traditions and said, well, you've already got the path throughs. We're taking over the path throughs. We'll run them for you. Well, what happens then? Then they order people to take care of these things. They start charging them for the maintenance of the roads, which were privately done before, and the horses are out of the gate, right? In addition to that, they took over those lands, took it out of agriculture, and started to raise sheep. And the wool industry became very, very big in places like Leeds and other places. And that's how the British East India Company actually started to arise as a partner, then sort of competitor with the Dutch East India Company in the 1500s. So from there, you get this massive rise of the British Empire. But it was that enclosure movement. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the United States. The idea of eminent domain is nothing more than it's a rehash of the enclosure movement. It's just other excuses. environmental excuses or places like the Kelo decision in Connecticut and New London, Connecticut. It's, oh, well, it's for the tax base, so that helps the community. No, you can't have a political force saying that it is helping a community, because only the individuals in the community can define what is help for themselves. You can't have an arbitrary group of thugs saying, putting a label on something saying, this is helping people. What was the corporation they were going to help out in New London? Pfizer. What did Pfizer never do once that land was taken? Build anything, right? Same thing with the solar farms, same thing with the wind farms. You've got to have a protocol of traditional common law torts. This is why you go back to the 1500s in history here. This is the scholarship behind this. It's inarguable. It's inescapable. It's the same top-down mindset. And what's interesting is you can really understand, you can understand better the perspective of many of the left-wing people from England, even the Georgist libertarians who claim that there should be no such thing as private property, because they came from a history of the concept of private property being manipulated the same way they use the term capitalism to describe free markets, when capitalism under what we've got now is really fascist mercantilism. It's not free markets, right? And so back then, when they would hear the term private property, many of the people would recognize what was done during the enclosure movement, when the feudal lords connected to the king, and then later, as the feudal system started to rub off, the last vestiges of it got those special acts of Congress. Literally, a couple guys were granted the whole enclosure of Bath, England. That's why a lot of the buildings like the circus and stuff like that are very similar, because they were run. The whole place was run by just a couple of like developers that were close to Parliament. This happened all over the place. And so they had a great resentment for this idea of so-called private property when it really wasn't private property. It was fascist connected cronyism. I won't even say capitalism. It was cronyism, right? And that was something that led Adam Smith to speak out against that. He called it mercantilism, special favors, getting tariffs put up against competitors. Now consumers have to spend more when they could get something from someplace else for less, save money, open up a new shop, employ new people. The whole system's all interconnected, right? So these types of things that we're seeing today are the exact same mindset. And the big thing that's removed from it is the tort law concept, the common law concept of torts. So to get over now, I don't think they have published this at MRC TV. Let me just double check to see. I want to show you my new piece. No, it's not out yet. So I'm going to show you the back end. This is what my MRC TV page looks like right now. Expanding on constitutionality, census adds more racial division categories. Did a video on that one, and thanks if you liked it. I hope you liked it. And I also did another video on that customers offer their own gestures after they gave them the bird, for sure. After Store in England goes woke, switches Easter eggs to gesture eggs. Okay, well, on that note, I want to turn to what I have coming up at MRC TV. So let me give you this story. And in fact, I can go over to the back end here and show you what it looks like right now as it is formatted. I won't show you on my Word document, although I could, I'm sure. But yeah, let me see here. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, okay. This is that story about Sean Ono Lennon. And I should really show you a photograph of him because, you know, he deserves a lot of credit. He's more sort of libertarian. I've seen some things on social stuff about the LGBTQ stuff that maybe some traditional conservatives might not like, but he usually takes a pretty soft approach, just being open to people, you know, live and let live sort of thing. But he's been very strong in other areas where, you know, by saying that right off the bat, I don't want to prejudice people who are very, you know, I think appropriately so, very clued into the cultural Marxist push of the, you know, splitting off, coming up with new groups to favor, that sort of thing, LGBTQ stuff, the you know, what the Bible says about sin and how deviant this is and how people look at it as you just have to accept this. It's like, well, no, you know, if somebody's going the wrong route, I don't have to accept that. I don't have to be a party to them going the wrong route. I should just mention, like, hey, you know, I think I'm not going to agree to this. I'll call you by a different name, but I'm not going to call a man a woman, right? So this is, again, and I'm going soft on Sean O'Nolan. It's a very small thing that I've seen. Almost everything I've seen from Sean O'Nolan has actually been quite remarkable, very pro-freedom, and very individual liberty-minded. So here it is. This is what will appear probably tomorrow at MRC-TV. Sean O'Nolan sounds alarm for vinyl files. The climate cult targets the grooves. So as we saw, we're, of course, sponsored by Black Vinyl. So the Damn's Black album. People who avail themselves, I wrote, of their ability to think and investigate breaking news might find common ground in recognizing that the climate cult typically acts according to the same censorious MO as ceaselessly enraged, for your sake, cultural Marxists. Without any literal victims going to court to sue you or me for bringing harm to them or their property, the climate cult not only ascribes malicious motives to their so-called selfish use of petrochemical energy to eating beef and other activities, they constantly expand their list of verboten activities that must be culled to fight their unsupported boogeyman of anthropogenic climate change. Change, change, change. That's right. Which means that, that's right, everybody, you got it. The cult now has widened its net and is targeting vinyl records. It's a crusade about which I was unaware until I read this March 29th X post from musician Sean O'Nolan. Quote, "The vinyl record industry is a tiny shadow of what it once was. LPs and 45s are not disposable single-use plastics. I have records that were made by Edison's company that still play. Everyone complaining about vinyl records from an environmental perspective are doing so with their cell phones and their computers and their blue jeans and their sneakers and their BS. This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening. Remember, check out the show live every Monday through Friday on Rumble and Rockfin and my Twitter /X at Guard Goldsmith. Be part of the conspiracy for freedom, because, of course, freedom is out of fashion nowadays.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.